This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
It's Denton Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Nats baseball comes your way in a little over an hour. They're in action against the Padres, looking to get back in the win column after a not-so-great outing yesterday. Eli Willits had his introductory press conference. Took some BP today. Looked pretty good. We'll get you set for that coming up here shortly. It's list season for those of us that do this as a profession. July's a tough month, man, to be on sports radio. I'm not complaining, though. CBS Sports put together a list where they ranked triplets. What are triplets? It's on offense, a quarterback, a running back, and a pass catcher. For some teams, they use a tight end. For most teams, they use a wide receiver. In fact, I think the 49ers are like the only team that they use a tight end because George Kittle is really good. Can't blame them. They might use a tight end for Kansas City, too.
What about the Raiders?
The Raiders, let me find them. They might actually, that's probably a good point. They probably use, yeah, they do use a tight end for the Raiders. So here's the top 10, according to CBS. I will start from 10 to number 1, ranking triplets. At 10 is Dallas, with Dak Prescott at quarterback, Javonte Williams at running back, and CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver. So Dallas comes in at number 10, and what they do in parentheses, they had people vote on this, is they have the highest vote that Dallas got and the lowest vote that Dallas got. So somebody had Dallas at 5, another person had Dallas at 14. The average is 10. So Dallas is at 10. 9 is Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, Bucky Irving, and Mike Evans. The high for Tampa was 8. The low for Tampa was 14, but they averaged at about 10.1, whereas Dallas was at 10.3. So Tampa Bay is at 9. San Francisco is at number 8 with Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and George Kittle. The high, they were at 6. The low is 13. San Francisco is the team that I feel like when people discuss them going into 2025 and the upside, what they're really doing is trying to not land on freezing cold takes or an old takes exposed Twitter account. I don't know what people see in San Francisco. I'm not a huge Purdy guy. Christian McCaffrey was very hurt last year, and he has a history of tough injuries. I don't see San Francisco at number 8, but CBS votes them at number 8. At number 7, this is what CBS is calling tier 2. The first couple of teams were in Tier 3. In the tier that CBS is calling Tier 2, you have Los Angeles, the Rams, with Stafford, Kyren Williams, and Puka Nacua. They're 7. Oh, you ready to get some feathers ruffled a little bit? Buffalo at 6 with Josh Allen, James Cook, and I dare anybody to guess who they had at wide receiver for Buffalo. I don't think most people can name who Buffalo's wide receiver is at number 1. This is heavily carried by Josh Allen. I also don't know if James Cook is reported. There was a point in time, I think a couple of weeks ago, where a tweet from a well-renowned reporter basically said that don't expect to see James Cook in Buffalo again. So I don't know if James Cook is going to play. They have him playing. They listed Khalil Shakir as wide receiver 1. Okay, that's not a number 1 wide receiver to me. I like Josh Allen a lot, and I understand he's an MVP. So if you just want to basically say, we're going to lean on Josh Allen, go for it. This is what their description was of this, by the way. This is our first team with every single vote that was received in the top 10, which means everyone just loves Josh Allen. That means, all right, this is nothing. They continue and say Cook had a breakout season. They were just doing some like semantics, housekeeping at the beginning of this little snippet. They said Josh Allen's inclusion here is the single biggest reason why the Bills are ranked so highly. So at least they're admitting that. Cook had a breakout season, but also ran an extremely hot on touchdown rate in an unsustainable way. And Shakir is kind of a gadget guy who had a 5.5 yard average depth of target last year. Allen being an absolute alien that he is why the Bills are this high. All right, so at least they're kind of upfront about that.
What about Coleman?
Keon Coleman. That's who I would have thought would be wide receiver one. But I guess he was a little up and down. Amari Cooper did not work out there, so they're not going to give it to him.
Right.
But yeah, it felt like that was throw a dart at the wall, and whoever it lands closest to will put in at wide receiver. 5 is Kansas City with Mahomes, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice. It's basically the same thing. It's Mahomes is really, really good, and the other guys exist. I would have put Kelce over Rashee Rice because Rashee Rice is not going to play for at least some games in 2025 due to a car crash. Don't speed, people. Tell that to all the football people in your respective town. 4 is Detroit with Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I get that. Didn't do much in the divisional round. Did not do much. But I get that. We'll see what they look like without Ben Johnson. 3 is Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers beat Washington's ass last year. I got no problems with putting him in there. It was the best game of his career against this defense. It was ugly. 3 is Philadelphia. And 1 is Cincinnati. Philadelphia is Hurts, Barkley, A.J. Brown. Cincinnati is Burrow, Chase Brown, and Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the NFL by a wide margin. Joe Burrow, if they had a defense, might have won MVP. You'll notice Washington is not in the top 10. CBS ranks Washington in terms of best triplets at 12. With Jaden, Brian Robinson, and of course, Terry. And it says in the write-up, the biggest risers from year to year, Washington leaps from 25th a year ago to just a smidge outside of the top 10, not included in the statement, but just a radio host's note. Thank you, Jaden. Almost exclusively the reason there. That's obviously on the strength of Daniels and his all-time great rookie season and of us finally getting to see what it looks like when McLaurin plays with a real live NFL quarterback. Robinson probably holds this group back, though, as a straight line runner with no real passing game production. If Washington had added an explosive rookie back, I think the commies. I don't love that. The commies. I don't love that. The Manders. The Manders is way better than the commies. I think the commies might have jumped into the next group. So here's what I will say about this. If you want to criticize Brian Robinson, criticize Brian Robinson. I think you're very fair to do that. The expectations that I had for Brian Robinson were severely underperformed based off of what reality was. I thought he'd be a 1,000-yard rusher with the potential of 12 to 13 touchdowns, having the threat of Jaden Daniels in the backfield with him. I thought he would crush. He did not. And a part of that was at the end of the year, it just, the wheels fell off a little bit. I don't know if he wasn't seeing the holes properly on the offensive line. Maybe it was more on the offensive line than it was on Brian Robinson. We're not going to point fingers in July about what went wrong in 2024. I do feel like he was okay at times, though, in the pass game. Like, he wasn't a Saquon. He wasn't a Jahmyr Gibbs. But there have been games where Brian Robinson had been very effective, I thought, as a pass catcher. Maybe not to the extent of Austin Eckler, necessarily. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, now that I pull the numbers up, that's probably more 2023, where he had a couple of games of long touchdowns. He didn't have as many in 2024, but I do feel like that element to Brian Robinson's game is still there. They just decided to use other guys to fill that. Washington being at 12 behind Houston, who is 11, with Stroud, Mixon, and Nico Collins, that feels like it's just, you know, Jaden, you would take Jaden over Stroud. You would argue maybe Nico over Terry, and then the running backs kind of screw that one up. The crazy thing is, though, Wes, as I read this list, they do the high-low thing. Nobody voted Washington in the top 10. The highest vote for Washington was 12, and it feels like a lot of people voted them at 12, and someone had them as low as 16. That person either really hates Brian Robinson or really does not think Terry McLaurin is very good, because there's no chance you're watching Jaden in 2024 and then ranking groups and saying, that guy doesn't carry everybody. Like, Allen won MVP. Josh Allen's done it at this level for a few years, so I understand not having Terry, or not having a Jaden, rather, in that same category. But I do feel like top to bottom, Washington's offense on paper is better than that of Buffalo from the skill position players. It's just the quarterback is a little different. Even with Dallas, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a guy. Like, CeeDee Lamb, we had those conversations last year about CeeDee Lamb or Terry. Those conversations are done. Terry is definitively right now wide receiver 4 in the NFC East, but I would be quick to point out that the NFC East has the best group of receivers in the NFL. If you're just looking at the number ones and the number twos, the NFC East has the best group by far. Javonte Williams is not that much better than, I don't think, that Brian Robinson is. And Dak Prescott sure as hell is not better than Jaden Daniels. You are a fool if you think Dak Prescott is better than Jaden Daniels. And you're a fool if you think Dak Prescott is going to have some crazy, crazy season in 2025. I would also like to point out the hypocrisy from CBS and that they don't really mention Javonte Williams a lot in the write-up. Not a lot. It's like, hey, Dak and CD are really, really good. The running back exists. Don't worry about him. So I want your thoughts at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Do you believe that the triplets of Washington are a top 10 group? Your calls, 800-636-1067, when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's Denton Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan of the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's Denton Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 at The Denton Day on Twitter. CBS ranked Washington's triplets, a ranking they did ranking quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receiver. They ranked Washington 12th in the NFL behind teams like Houston, Dallas, Tampa, and San Francisco. The 49ers are the one that anger me the most. Do you agree with that? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I cannot wrap my head around looking at San Francisco the way that national pundits, and I'm a degenerate, y'all know that, I'm a gambler, the way that these sports books view San Francisco does not make any sense to me. Brock Purdy is fine at best, but it feels like San Francisco is entering a period where they are going to, the pendulum is swinging the other way. For a long time, it's been swinging in the direction of being one of the best teams in the NFL. It feels like that is going to start swinging the opposite direction. So I don't love them being ahead of Washington, particularly four spots ahead of Washington. I think Jaden is good enough to lift Washington into the top 10. We saw that. I mean, he got the team to the NFC Championship game, went into Detroit, and crushed Detroit, which was supposed to be one of the toughest places to play. Y'all remember the lead-up to that? Oh, my God, Eminem's going to be there. Oh, you know, Washington's played in a bunch of tough places, but they haven't played in Detroit. It gets loud in Detroit. All these things. Jaden walks right in there and stunting on him. I thought he was good enough to lift Washington to the top 10. If you're going to allow a guy like Josh Allen, who did win MVP, but if you're going to allow a guy like Josh Allen to lift Buffalo's group of skill position players, which is effectively non-existent, especially at wide receiver, if you're going to say he's good enough to lift them into the top 10, I would have felt like that Jaden would have been good enough to lift Washington past a team like San Francisco. There are a few people that disagree with me, at least in the media space, as far as where Jaden is ranked. I've been very, very intrigued with Cam Newton making the jump to media. I tend to like it when quarterbacks make the jump because quarterbacks are the ones that can explain some of the nuances offensively that regular analysts might not be able to. But Cam Newton has not been particularly nice to one Jaden Daniels. A couple weeks ago, he was on a podcast with Wale. He was talking to Wale. I like Wale. Wale knows ball. But Cam was asking Wale what the difference is between Jaden and Robert. I was like, buddy, you're the quarterback. He should be asking you that question. Don't make Wale break down the X's and the O's. You're the quarterback. But he did that. He took to his podcast again, the 4th and 1 podcast. He was ranking the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Listen to where he ranked Jaden and then the guy that he ranked directly ahead of Jaden. You are not going to believe this.
Number 5, Matthew Stafford. He doesn't get enough credit. If he's healthy, he gonna deliver. Number 6, Jared Goff. Number 7, Jaden Daniels. Number 8, CJ Stroud.
Huh? Like Jared Goff? At 6 ahead of Jaden Daniels? Like Jared Goff that played for those Detroit Lions that I mentioned that Jaden Daniels walked into and then took him behind the woodshed. Like that Jared Goff is ahead of Jaden Daniels? He didn't expound on why. That was the thing that I didn't like about this particular clip. Maybe in the actual podcast, he did. I just saw this cut-up version, but the cut-up version had explanations of other quarterbacks. You heard it at the beginning. He had a nice little tidbit in there about Matthew Stafford. When Matthew Stafford's healthy, Matthew Stafford's really, really tough to beat. I agree with that. I think when Matthew Stafford's healthy, he's really good. He had tidbits for guys in the first 1 through 4, and then he kind of rapid fire. Jared Goff at 6, Jaden at 7, CJ Stroud at 8. I'm going to need a good logical explanation as to why Jared Goff would be ranked ahead of Jaden Daniels. Or really more why Jaden Daniels would be ranked behind Jared Goff. And I mentioned the explanations. He gave a really good explanation for Josh Allen, who he had as his number one quarterback. Listen to the explanation for Josh Allen, and then we can talk again about why Jaden Daniels being ranked 7 doesn't make any sense.
The best quarterback in the NFL right now. Drum roll, please. Josh Allen. It's this overarching question. Are they winning because of you? Simple. He turned sugar from maybe 3 of Josh Allen's receivers.
He doesn't have a prime time receiver.
So they're winning the game because of
Josh Allen's leadership.
Thank you.
I don't disagree with that. That makes tons of sense. Josh Allen is so good that he was taking a team and a group of skill position guys that was not very good, and he was ascending them to the potential of the promised land. And then 5 picks later, he said Jared Goff was better than Jaden Daniels. I'm starting to think, if I did not know better, I don't think Cam Newton is a fan of Jaden Daniels. There must be something going on there. I don't know what that something is, but there must be something going on, because it makes zero sense to say that Josh Allen is the number one quarterback in the NFL because they win because of him in Buffalo, and then to have Jared Goff ahead of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels beat Jared Goff, and he lifted a team that was a roster that was not all that impressive in 2024 over Jared Goff and to the NFC Championship game. And they did it because of Jaden. This was not like Russell Wilson in 2013. When Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl, his lone Super Bowl, it was because Seattle's defense was unbelievable. And all he had to do was not screw it up. That second year, he screwed it up. Threw it at the goal line, got picked off, lost to Tom Brady. All Russ had to do to win that Super Bowl was not screw it up. All he had to do in the postseason in 2012 when Seattle came to our place and beat our team, partly because Bobby Three Sticks tore his knee up. All he had to do was not screw it up. That defense was so good. All Jared Goff has to do in Detroit is not screw it up. A great wide receiver 1, a really strong wide receiver 2, a premier group of offensive linemen. You could have argued last year, some retirements have taken place recently with Detroit, but last year, you could have very easily argued this is a top 3 offensive line in football behind a team like a Philly. I think Philly was definitively number 1. I would say actually that Detroit was number 2. And the only team that was better than them on the offensive line would be Philadelphia. So Jared Goff had that. He had a great running back and a really good running back, too. And a nice tight end. He had all of these riches, an embarrassment of riches at his disposal. Couldn't get past Jayden Daniels, and then Cam Newton goes and says that Jayden Daniels is a lesser quarterback than Jared Goff. When Jayden had a really good wide receiver one in Terry McLaurin, and then an average running back. Zach Ertz was a little bit above average, but an older tight end. I don't know that Cam Newton could have named wide receiver two going into that game against Detroit. I don't think he could have. So you take that approach with Josh Allen. I don't know anyone on this team. So Josh Allen must be really good. And then with Jayden, I know one person on the team. So Jayden Daniels clearly is, you know, he has way more help. It just doesn't make any sense. And really, so I mentioned the thing with Wale. You know, Cam had Wale on his podcast. And again, this is not a shot at Wale. Love Wale. I thought Wale actually handled the questioning really, really well on the podcast. And I know that Wale knows ball. Follow him on Twitter. He knows ball. Cam Newton, a quarterback, asking Wale the difference between Robert and Jayden going into year two completely blew my mind. How did that thought even happen? Does he got like the first take producers producing his podcast? If you are a quarterback, I would feel like you know the difference between the two of them. And Cam said, you know, Robert had the league in a chokehold. No one could stop. No one could stop the gimmick of the read option. You couldn't stop Jayden last year because he was good at everything. You're going to let him sit in the pocket? I wouldn't. He's going to pick you apart. And he did. You're going to send pressure? Find a quick read. You're going to send too much pressure, not get there in time. He's going to step up. He's going to go. Jayden had every single intangible that you wanted from a quarterback. Robert had the read option. And a really, really nice deep ball. Jayden had everything. Robert had like two gimmicks. And he was asking Wale why Jayden was going to be better than Robert in year number two. Just completely also taking out any sort of context about Robert tearing his knee up and Jayden not doing that. I don't understand what the beef is with Cam Newton and Jayden Daniels. But there is something going on. It's way more one-sided. I don't think Jayden cares. It's way more one-sided. But there is something going on there. Where Cam Newton doesn't seem to want to give Jayden Daniels any credit. I feel like if you ask 10 different people on the street, scratch that. If you ask 100 different people on the street, I don't even give a damn what street it is. You could do half street. You could go to Chicago. You could ask, you know what? The Bears fans feel like a good litmus test for this. If you were to ask Chicago fans, I know they don't like Detroit. I know they don't like us very much. For good reason. Hail Mary. What's up? If you were to ask Chicago fans, 100 of them, which quarterback strikes more fear into your heart? And you got to be honest, not just a troll for social media, 90% are going to say Jayden Daniels. And that 90% is being conservative. I could not believe. Like, if you want to do the Jalen Hurts bit, fine. Jalen Hurts beat Jayden Daniels twice. Is Jalen Hurts a better quarterback? No. But if you want to do the bit, he won a Super Bowl. Yada, yada, yada. Gotta respect the ring. You don't really have to, but I know people want to say, gotta respect the ring. If you want to do that silly little bit, you could do that silly little bit. It makes no sense to say that Jared Goff is a better quarterback than Jayden Daniels. Absolutely none. Zip, zilch, zero. You're listening to Denton Day in DC on 106.7 The Fan at the Denton Day on Twitter. Your thoughts on Jared Goff being better or allegedly better than Jayden Daniels. Tweet me at the Denton Day. Don't go anywhere. We continue this conversation when we get back here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
6-7 The Fan of the Team 980. Tweet me at the Denton Day. Talking about Cam Newton ranking Jaden Daniels beneath Jared Goff. The audacity. A guy that I'm a fan of. I saw Cam Newton. He had a nice setup for his podcast. Not a crazy setup for his podcast in New Orleans. But I saw his podcast out there. Some of the setups in New Orleans for the Super Bowl were nuts. He's not there yet. But he had a nice little setup. He said that Jaden Daniels is a worse quarterback than Jared Goff. I can't fathom that. I cannot, in good conscience, I can't handle that. He baited me, and he won. He got me on it. So congratulations to Cam Newton. There's just no way in a logical person's mind that you can watch football and say that Jared Goff is better than Jaden Daniels. You just cannot do it. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC. If you want to argue Stafford, I will hear the argument, but I'm still going to take number five, the guy in burgundy and gold, over Matthew Stafford. I'm just going to do it. I'm certainly not putting Jared Goff's ass into that conversation. All right, if you want to join the conversation on the phones, you can, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at the Denton Day. Let's go to Charles in Richmond. Charles, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
My name is Tyler.
Oh, Tyler. Sorry, Tyler. What's going on?
Two words. If you go back to the playoff game last year, five interceptions. So an upset.
All right, Tyler. What else you got for me?
That's it.
That's it. Five interceptions. There it is. All right. So a couple tidbits here of other news across the district. How about a little bit of Wizards news? That's what everyone's hoping for, right? We want to know about the Wizards. Marcus Smart and the team has agreed to a buyout. So Marcus Smart is no longer going to be a member of the Wizards. He's going to join the Lakers on a two-year, $11 million contract, which is basically the Bradley Beal contract just for the Lakers. So Smart is gone. I'm kind of in favor of this for the Wizards. Not that I have anything against Marcus Smart, But he's not going to be here long term. He's at the stage of his career where he doesn't necessarily want to be the old head on a up-and-coming team. He wants to try and chase a championship. I understand that. But it also gets him out of the way for young players. This is all about the young players, the development for Washington. Your guys like Bub Carrington and Trey Johnson and Bilal Coulibaly. I want the young guys to get the minutes. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point they make a very similar decision with a C.J. McCollum or Chris Middleton. Keep one of those guys, but by the end of the season, I don't need either of those guys on the team. I want the young guys. How are they going to mature and develop into a group to be at the forefront of the Eastern Conference? The Eastern Conference is wide open this year. So I like the move. Marcus Smart, Wizards legend, hang his jersey next to Chris Paul in the rafters. I'm glad that he's able to go find, you know, some peace, I guess, in Los Angeles. But that's breaking news for the Wizards. It's off season for everybody. So he's going to the Lakers on a 2-year contract worth about $11 million to play alongside potentially LeBron James, or LeBron James is not going to play there anymore. I don't know. That whole situation has been incredibly weird. LeBron gets petty with these sorts of things, and now you have a guy that just paid $10 billion for the team. My guess is that he is going to get petty with these sorts of things. So best of luck there. We'll continue taking your calls. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's go out to Ashburn. John is in Ashburn wanting to talk Jaden Daniels. John, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? So I don't think that Cam Newton specifically has a problem with Jaden, but he does have a problem with Washington, because his boy Ron Rivera came over here, and that was his coach for a long time. And Washington obviously trashed him for all his poor decision-making and inability to draft and develop prospects. And I think that's where the animosity lies, and that bleeds over to him ranking Jaden Daniels. That would be my guess.
John, that's an interesting point that I did not consider. If Cam Newton is that upset at what Washington did to Ron Rivera, he must hate Carolina. Because I feel like in the grand scheme of things, Carolina did him way worse than he was done here. He kind of did it to himself here. I mean, the man didn't know when he could be eliminated in the postseason. At the very least with Carolina, you had a degree of success built up on the back end, and they still kind of tossed you out with the bathwater after you lost, ironically, to Washington, then led by Dwayne Haskins. Maybe there is something to that, but like, this is a completely different group, I feel like, to be judging them. You knew that Ron was a lame duck head coach, and I would actually say that Josh Harris did really well by Ron to let the season play out. He could have came in and immediately just axed Ron, and he probably should have, to be honest. But he could have just immediately axed Ron, and he instead didn't, allowed him to coach that final year out, and then proceeded to ax Ron. So I would say that the Josh Harris group actually handled Ron way better than he probably should have been handled. But that's just me. Maybe Cam Newton, because Ron, I mean, John brings up a good point. Ron and Cam are boys. We'll look past the point where Ron fined him and I think benched him for a quarter because he didn't wear a tie to a game. That actually happened in real life. Maybe that's what Cam's issue was. I'm Denton Day. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Tweet me at The Denton Day. More of your calls next. Don't go anywhere. Is Denton Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980? You can tweet me at The Denton Day. We spent a majority of this hour perplexed, probably the best way I could place it, at Cam Newton saying that Jared Goff is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. The Jared Goff that Jaden Daniels beat in the divisional round of the postseason, despite the fact that the Lions' offense, top to bottom, was one of the best in the NFL. Didn't matter. Jared Goff played awful against Washington. Jaden Daniels did not play awful against that defense. We're taking your calls. We got a line open for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's go out to Maryland. Our guy Jonathan is in Maryland. Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, sir. Hey, I think my theory is, I recall when we needed a quarterback, when Ron Rivera was here, and it was assumed that we were going to sign Cam Newton because he was bringing all former Carolina Panthers players and coaches, and they never even brought him in for a visit. I think he's still a little bit bitter about that. But then secondly, I think that he pretty much watches Jaden Daniels. That's a kid that's just as tall and has a similar style of playing the way he played in college and in the pros, that is Jaden is a better passer this early on than Cam Newton has ever been in his whole entire career. So I think it's, you know, a combination of the two. And then lastly, I believe Terry McLaurin's contract getting done before the weekend now, right before training camp. And that's all I have.
Jonathan, appreciate it. I had not thought of the jealousy element of it. I don't think it's totally off base. Like, it makes a ton of sense, at least in my brain, to suggest that Cam Newton is maybe a little bit jealous of the success. We've never seen a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who is described as a dual threat, even though I think he's just more of a passer that can run, but he's described as a dual threat, to come in and have the success against NFL defenses that he had. And then on top of it, and this could be where the jealousy comes in, you know, Cam Newton had a great rookie year when he was with the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton had a great MVP year when he was with Carolina. Look up who wide receiver one was for Carolina that year. Greg Olsen led the team in receiving yards. Cam Newton's wide receiver one when he won MVP was Ted Ginn Jr. That's a tough wide receiver one to win MVP with. But Cam Newton was never adored the way that Jaden Daniels is adored. Jaden Daniels' top-selling jersey, loved almost universally outside of the cities of Chicago and Philly. I saw a Jaden Daniels jersey in Dallas last weekend. I went to a wrestling show at All In. In Dallas, saw Jaden Daniels' jersey. I was stunned. I was like, I didn't think I'd be seeing one of those here, but I saw one. Jaden Daniels is loved everywhere. Maybe Cam Newton is a little jealous about how everybody loves Jaden in a way that people did not seem to love him. Let's go to Fairfax. Abby's in Fairfax. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
So yeah, you know, this is coming from a non-Commanders fan, but I thought it was ridiculous that he would even have Jared Goff Jaden Daniels below Jared Goff. And I thought about something that I think Charles Barkley said about how you have the bus driver and the bus rider. And when you look at the top four QBs ahead of Jaden Daniels, the four guys in the AFC, in Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, and Burrow, they're all basically, you know, the bus drivers, the guys that, you know, make the engine go. And Jaden Daniels is exactly the same kind of player. And Jared Goff, you know, he's, to use the baseball term, you know, 75 and sunny. He needs everything around him to look great in order for him to you know, operate and to win. And that's fine, but, you know, there's levels to this. So Jaden Daniels, to me, I have him at number five. And he's, to me, a lot closer to those four guys. And going back to what your previous caller said, I think there is an element of jealousy just considering the fact that Jaden was able to take the Commanders, who had the number two pick, all the way to the NFC Championship game, a game away from the Super Bowl, compared to Cam Newton not really taking his team as far. So I think there is an element of jealousy, and I think that's probably why he had him below Jared Goff. But I think just objectively looking at the situation, Jaden Daniels is head and shoulders above the other guys, and he actually convinced me while I was driving that he is the best quarterback in the NFC. So that's really how I see it. I don't know what you think.
First of all, the bus driver reference is a sensational one. And it's one of those references where I'm jealous that I didn't make it first. I think that's a perfect description of how I would describe the two quarterbacks, with Jared Goff and with Jaden Daniels. Now, recently, I have become a slightly larger Jared Goff fan because of the quarterback series. I'm a big fan of quarterback on Netflix. I thought season two was really well done. Last episode was my favorite. Getting to relive that one. But I became more of a fan of Jared Goff because in that he felt like a cool dude, felt like a nice guy that, you know, plays football and wants to be really, really good. And he was, you know, kind of hurt with the way things ended in Los Angeles, which makes sense. You know, didn't end well being a quarterback, being traded for a quarterback and then also with first round picks, like you and the first round picks going over there is downright offensive. So I understand, like, the storyline, redemption for Jared Goff, all those things. That was a cool storyline. I liked him a little bit more. But it was also a very great example of what the caller just said. It is a bus. You are not the bus driver. You are on the bus. You were really, really good in Los Angeles when Sean McVay was the new wonder kid, and he was doing a lot of the stuff at the line of scrimmage for you in some instances. He was always ahead of the curve in most instances. And then when it got to a point in time where defenses caught up a little bit to what they were doing and Jared Goff had to be a little bit more bus driver, shall we say, things did not go as well. You could say the very same thing with the way Detroit. We haven't seen him be a bus driver yet. He had Ben Johnson, the wonder kid. He has a just loaded group of offensive skill position guys. When the pressure was on the way that it was in the playoffs, he folded. He did. Jaden Daniels didn't fold in pressure. We saw it against Detroit. We saw it against Tampa. And to an extent, we saw it against Philadelphia. The scoreboard didn't look good in that one. That wasn't Jaden's fault. Everybody else was fumbling the football away. There were a couple bad interceptions late in the game from Jaden, but everybody else was fumbling the football away. I thought Jaden still played really well in that game despite of the chaos that was going on around him. He is a bus driver. That was a perfect description that the caller just made there. And again, I'm very upset that I was not able to make that myself first. You're listening to Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. If you are listening on Team 980, you are losing us in a matter of moments. If you're listening on 106.7 The Fan, we still got a few more minutes left before Nationals baseball takes over. They got the Padres this evening. We will take a look at that matchup, preview what potentially could be on the slate there for the Nationals, and talk a little bit about their introductory press conference for their number one overall pick. We do it next on 106.7 The Fan. Is Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Nats baseball coming up, pregame in 13 minutes. Nats taking on the Padres at home. It'll be Mitchell Parker on the mound for the Nationals, Yu Darvish for San Diego. Nats a very slight underdog. You can get them on the money, plus 115. It's been a very busy day for the Nationals. I do have a bet that I am going to place. I will share that with you on this game in a matter of moments. It's been a very busy day for the Nationals. Earlier this afternoon, about 3 hours ago, they welcomed number one overall pick Eli Willits. He signed his contract. It's the richest contract in Major League history for a guy coming out of high school signing to an MLB team. $8.2 million. So look at that. Learners spending a little bit of money. Congratulations to them. We carried the presser here on the show. I was very impressed with the 17-year-old. I think it's very, very impressive for really for anybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. But sitting at a press conference and fielding a bunch of questions from people who you do not know, who are looking to cover angles, stories, what have you. Not that any question directed at Eli Willits was a gotcha kind of question or was handled with any sort of ill intent, but that just can be the case at times. And sitting up there and fielding questions when a majority of the questions were directed at him, he handled himself very, very well. I have seen pictures and videos of him taking BP on the field. I was curious as to whether or not he was going to stay for the game. And I say that because they announced as a part of this press conference that he's going to be heading to West Palm Beach. I believe the flight is going to be tomorrow, and he is immediately going to start working out, getting himself involved with the staff that is down there, weight room, and then, you know, working on a bunch of things, developing tools, developing. That's been the biggest issue for the Nats, at least in the tenure of now former general manager Mike Rizzo. Great at the trades, not great at the developing. Eli Willits, whether it is fair or not, is going to be the first kind of real test with the new management, whoever that ends up being. Maybe they just take the interim tag off of the current group of guys. Maybe the learners have somebody else in mind, or they find somebody else by the time that the offseason comes around and a new group comes in and takes over in the development process. Whatever it is, he is going to be, he being Eli Willits, is going to be the guy that is kind of the litmus test for what it is going to look like in terms of the new development process. I was really, really excited about him, and the press conference did not change that. I think his mentality is very, very great. On top of that, they talked a little bit about working with his agent. I do not know who the agent is. I forget what the name is. That's not important, because I know who the agent is not, and it is not Scott Boras. There is nothing that hurts my heart more as a national fan than finding out that a player that I like who is signed to this team is represented by Scott Boras, because you just know that you are operating on borrowed time. And whenever the time comes for said player to start looking at free agency or to start having the discussions about an extension, when Scott Boras walks into the room, that man carries a big stick, and that stick usually ends up getting paid elsewhere. So I was very excited when they said the name of his agent, and it was not Scott Boras. He said, Eli Willits said, that his goal is to get to the big leagues by the age of 20. He's 17 now. He's going to turn 18 by December, which gives him about 2.5 years or so to get from West Palm Beach tomorrow to the big leagues. He has that dog in him. You could kind of tell in just listening to him talk. Like, the presser is kind of something that you have to do, but I just get the feeling that he wants to be out there and he wants to start working immediately, which is why he signed as quickly as he did. And that's a very nice caveat to have for a young guy who is hopefully going to be one of the faces of your franchises moving forward. He talked about following around Aaron Judge when his father was on staff with the New York Yankees, and getting to be up close and personal and watching Aaron Judge go through batting practice and the way that he prepares on a day-in, day-out basis. Baseball's a grind. We all know that. 162 games is an absolute S-ton of games. So getting to see one of the greatest hitters of a generation on a day-in, day-out basis and see how they perform, how they prepare. Is his preparation going to be the exact same as Aaron Judge? Probably not. I'm sure there will be some nuances in there that he took from Aaron Judge and maybe from a few other players that he got to see when his father was working with the Yankees. They had other great players when they were there. But I just love a guy that is around baseball at a young age and was able to kind of be a sponge to great players. The presser was really, really well done. He dropped his bar. Presser is a privilege. I mean, write that one down. Pop that one in the locker. Look at that one every single day. He understands that there's going to be pressure, and he understands the privilege that it is to have pressure. I mean, this guy, he absolutely won me over. It wouldn't have taken very much to win me over, but he did win me over nonetheless. I was very, very impressed, and all things that I have heard, at least from today, people that are down there, is that the batting practice looked really, really strong as well. So I hope he enjoys himself tonight. I'm sure he's sitting up in a booth somewhere, but maybe some fans will get to see him, meet him, take some pictures. It's just nice seeing him in Nationals colors, right? So I'm excited to see what he ends up being. As far as the game today is concerned, Nats taking on the Padres. First pitch is going to be 6:45. Pregame coming up in a little less than 10 minutes here. It's Parker on the mound, Mitchell Parker and Yu Darvish. Darvish at one point was one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's just still kind of around. This is going to be a great opportunity for the Nationals offense to get back on track. Darvish is 0-1 with a 6.48 ERA. He hasn't pitched a ton this year in the majors. He's only pitched eight and a third. But this should be an opportunity for Washington to offensively get into some kind of a rhythm. The second half of the season is going to be a little less about wins and losses. You know, you don't just want to suck for the rest of the year, certainly. But what you do want to do is figure out who is going to be here long term if there are some question marks, and put them in positions to where you can, again, develop. You want to put them in positions. They only scored two runs yesterday against the Padres. They lose that one 7-2. Prior to the All-Star break, they only scored one run against Milwaukee in that final game. 5 the game before that, 3 the game before that. The last time they scored more than 5 runs was against the Cardinals. It was the one game that they won of that series, 8-2. And then you look at how they performed against Boston. Not a lot of run support in those games. They had that great series against Detroit prior to the All-Star break. And then all of the thrill of that, where they take 2 of 3 from Detroit, who is one of the best teams in baseball, the thrill of that is then just completely gone by losing 3 in a row to the Red Sox, losing 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals, and then getting swept by the Brewers. So I really want to see the Nationals get back on pace here offensively. I don't care about the results of the game itself, but I want to see guys get good contact at the plate and drive some runs across. This game is going to be delayed slightly because of weather. I mean, man, it's summer. This week has been such, this like week and a half has been so crazy. Almost every single day at 6 p.m. or like 5:30, we get some sort of like crazy weather. A typhoon, you're like flooding the streets of D.C., flooding parts of Alexandria, crazy thunderstorms. I will say I was really proud of my dog this week, Wes, because we had crazy thunderstorms in Virginia, and my dog is like most dogs, doesn't love the thunder, especially when it shakes the apartment. For whatever it's worth, I don't like that very much either. Freaks me out. My dog was a champ. I think it was probably Wednesday. Was it Wednesday that was the big crazy storm?
I think so. It was like flooding in the streets.
It was flooding in the streets, shaking buildings. My dog was a champ about it.
There you go.
I was very proud of my
dog.
Boy. He did great. He didn't wake me up. He didn't like jump into the bed. He could have jumped into the bed. He's always open for a little cuddling, especially in the case of a thunderstorm. But he handled that great. So this will be delayed a little bit. Hopefully not that much. We just got word of that. You're still going to get pregame coming up here in a matter of moments. And hopefully by the time pregame is done, maybe the delay is getting wrapped up a little bit there. Guys that I'm watching, though, specifically today, obviously James Wood. I would love to see him go crazy. He's going to bat second in the lineup today. Luis Garcia third. CJ Abrams in that leadoff spot. Bell, who is DHing, is 4. He is a name that I would watch come trade deadline. I don't know what the market is going to be for Josh Bell, but as management, you're kind of in the spot where you're just get me something in return. Go to a team that needs to win. We will get something back. It doesn't have to be crazy, but we just need something back because we know that in the long-term plans, Josh Bell is not factored into that. So get something back in return for him. Nathaniel Lowe is in that same, I would say, position. See if you can get something back in return for him by the time trade deadline comes around. It will also be interesting to see how DeBartolo handles this. We are so accustomed to Mike Rizzo being a savant when it comes to trades. Drafting, not as much, but when it comes to trades, he was for such a long time this savant, and it always felt like he was winning deals. If this interim group wants to take the interim tag off of their names and just be the full-time group, they would need to drill some of these trades. So it's going to be very, very interesting. As far as gambling goes, I am a gambler. I'm going to take the under 9. So the total on this one is 9. It's rainy. The weather is not very great. I'm going to take under 9. You can get it at BetMGM at -105. So Nats Padres under 9. I think it'll be a much lower scoring game, or at least a slightly lower scoring game than it was yesterday. So I'm going to take under 9 between the Padres and the Nationals. Hopefully the game is fun. Hopefully we see some offense return for the Nationals, albeit if it's just a little bit. I'm taking the under 9. If you're out there, stay safe. But also wave to Eli Willits. Welcome him to D.C. They did a good job of that earlier today. We can do a good job of that as well as fans. That's going to do it. Big thanks to Wes doing a great job on the other side of the glass producing this show. If you missed any of it, it's available on podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast. I am Denton Day. You can follow me on Twitter at the Denton Day. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Nats pregame comes your way next on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.